You're listening to Soul Talk, conversations with fascinating people on their relationship with spirituality. I'm your host, Holly Azzopardi.
Hello, and I don't know if I should be saying happy Friday or happy Monday. Depends. I'm recording this late on a Thursday afternoon, so if you're listening to this on a Friday, my producers have done a very snappy turnaround. But I wanted to share a little bit about why I'm recording this late, and then we're going to dive into the episode today, which is very much all connected. And you'll remember if you listened to this week's episode or last week's episode, depending when you're listening, of What's the Vibe, I shared that collectively we needed to catch ourselves in states of urgency and placing urgent expectation on things that aren't actually urgent. And for me, in my recovery over the last few weeks, it's actually coming up to a month now of being physically unwell, I have been urgently putting pressure on myself to show up for this podcast. I need to get the Tuesday episode out. I need to get the Friday episode out. And it's pressure that I'm just placing on myself, because the story that I tell myself is if a Friday episode doesn't go out, then I've let myself down and I've let all of you down, because I'm really committed to consistency. But what I am actually doing at this point in my life, while I navigate my physical health and my really strong levels of fatigue, to be perfectly honest, if I had forced myself to record this earlier than my energy would allow, then I'm only letting myself down. So this might be out on Friday. This might be out on Monday. And it's all in honor of me showing up for what I need in this stage of my life right now. And if you're a consistent listener of the potty, you'll know that this last month, my life force has taken a bit of a blow, and it's moved through in a lot of physical challenges this month. And when you're a parent and a working parent and all those things, you actually don't have the luxury of elongated rest to get your physical health back in order. So you kind of get, you're in, stuck in this vortex and this spiral of being physically unwell and being unable to give yourself the rest you really need, because you still have to show up for your child and your work and these things. So I called myself out on that and went, right, Holly, we need to have a look and take stock at your entire life inventory right now. And I have titled it Operation Life Force. So today we're going to talk about life force energy. We're going to talk about the life bringers that I'm reflecting on in my personal life and the life takers, and also the in-betweeners, because there are a couple there. And I'm going to share with you, probably not just in this episode, but going forward, there might be Operation Life Force little snippets around my clawing back into vital, energized life force living, because I'm deeply of the belief that no matter what life stage we are at, we have the ability and capacity to tap into overflowing life force energy. It's just that in different seasons of our life, it's going to take either more heavy lifting or very different tweaks, maybe a shorter amount of time, maybe we have a shorter amount of energy available to us. But I truly believe that regardless, we can call and build up our life force energy. It's just in my experience of life to date, it's a non-negotiable. And I've had to do this a few times. I have burned myself out multiple times, the worst time being in my corporate career, where I was incredibly unwell for a few years, actually. And it started with me being physically unwell, and then that physical, like the repetition of physical sickness, then melted its way into mental unwell, and then it just continued and continued. And so the gift of having burned out multiple times in the past for me is that I can catch myself, you know, in a few weeks of being sick and going, I am not willing to hit the bottom, you know, the rock bottoms that I have in the past. I'm going to pick up the pieces right now. And yes, at this stage of my life, it's going to require a lot more intention, heavy lifting, and being brutally honest with myself. But I'm of the view of my life at the moment that I have everything to gain from this. And I'm refusing to live a life this year or any year where I am continually sick, burning myself out. And then it's creating ripples into my work, into my family life, et cetera. So Operation Life Force is born. I'd love for you guys to play along as well if this is something that you're feeling called to do. And I know I've heard from many, many, many of you who can resonate with what I've been experiencing physically. Like, there are so many of us us moving through forms of burnout and depletion. And so let's go on our own little Operation Life Force journeys, and maybe we can create a thread in the Facebook group to hold each other to account. But firstly, what is life force energy? Well, for me, it's exactly how it sounds. It is the force that brings us to life in our energetic body. And I had a big conversation with my psychic studies girls about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, what do we do to bring ourselves into overflowing life force? Because when we're in a state where our energy is overflowing and our life force is overflowing, this is when we're also super magnetic. Opportunities land in our laps. Life force energy on the overflow, we're able to show up more for people. We're able to serve more. We're in inverted commas alignment. Things just flow. Yeah. When it's really important as well for us to get clear on what takes life force energy away. And they're two very, very important points for us to look at, not just what brings us our life force, but what zaps our life force. And it's not about doing all the things that bring us life force and not doing all the things that take it away, because we are human. Need I remind us? This is more about becoming aware of those different categories and consciously turning up the volume of the life bringers, I like to call them, and turning down the volume when we can of the life takers, or just observing when we're stepping more into a self-sabotaging behavior, which would be us investing in our energy more in life-taking energy than life-bringing energy. And I do talk in detail about self-sabotage in my book, but let's have a look at life force energy, how to turn up the volume and how to turn down the volume, and where that's playing out in my personal life. And I mean, it goes without saying, but these are very, very personal to me. And so there are going to be things that resonate for you. There are going to be things that are completely wildly different for you. Take what resonates, leave or add the rest in the chat in the Facebook group or wherever we continue this conversation. But for me, the context of this life operation life force for me right now is in the context of me as firstly, a stay-at-home mother, secondly, a business owner, and thirdly, a projector in human design. I know I've been bringing that up a lot lately, but it is actually really important. And the other projectors will understand, and the reflectors will understand, and to a degree, the manifestors, I want to say as well. But I'm also talking in that context. And if we want to go even deeper than that, for those of you who do understand human design, every energy center of mine personally is open except my throat and my G center. Every other center is open. So those of you who understand human design will understand what that means when it comes to my life force and where I get it from and where it's easy for me to be wiped out by many, many things in life. So let's start on the life bringers. And the reason that I can talk to this today, by the way, the reason that I've showed up to record a podcast this week when literally yesterday I'm like, maybe I need a season break, is that I've been integrating these life bringers into my day-to-day life. And I've noticed massive change even in a few days, let alone like a week or so, but mostly in the last few days. The biggest life bringer for me is sleep. And it's a very rich thing to say to any new mother, might I add, but even, parents of toddlers. My little girl is a pretty good sleeper, I've got to say. She sleeps with us, as you guys know. She sleeps between me and Trenny. But I will say also, as projectors, we absorb, and with open energy centers, we absorb the energy centers of whoever we sleep with. And when that was me and Trenny, it was fine because we're both self-projecting projectors. But now we have a little man gen between us, so it's very different. I actually have the funniest clip of the monitor the other night. I woke up at 3 a.m. to my little girl pulling my hair out and, wait for it, trying to eat it. I'm not kidding. It's a very funny clip. I might actually, you know what? I'll put it in the Facebook group. I won't put it on Insta. I will put it in the Facebook group if you want to have a laugh, remind me. But this is what I mean. Like my little man, Jen, she'll go to sleep and then she'll wake up randomly at 2 a.m. with all the energy to burn. And then we're sitting up in bed with her for 2 hours. So it's not like we're getting consistent sleep. But what I've started to introduce, and I've already noticed a difference, is firstly an earlier bedtime. There's this weird thing that happens when you're a parent where you finally get your kid down to sleep or your children down to sleep. And even if you're tired from the day that's been, you just need a minute or an hour to yourself in your own energy that isn't you sleeping. And that's when we stay up and we watch shitty TV or we scroll our phones because we just need to be in our energy for a moment. And that has been me the last, how old's my little girl? 16 months. She'll go down to sleep. I could also go to bed, but it's like, I just need a second to myself. And then a second becomes a few hours. And before I know it, I'm rolling into bed at 10:30. I'm falling asleep at 11. Now I know sleep. Sleep is my favorite topic. I talk about it all the time. I love sleep. And I've been sabotaging my sleep massively. So what I've committed to is a much earlier bedtime. And last night we got into bed before 9:30. I was asleep by 9:30. That is the ideal for me. That is a life bringer for me. If I can get roughly between 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night, I know that's a luxury if you're a new parent and you have a child or children that aren't sleeping. I totally understand that. But if I can aim for that by giving myself an earlier bedtime, I am cheering. Got into bed early last night. My little girl was awake at 4 this morning. But if I got into bed 2 hours later than I did, I would be in 2 hour deficit today. We also need to know that the hours of sleep we get before midnight are worth 4 times as much as the hours we get after midnight. So ideally, the more hours we sleep before midnight, doesn't actually matter how many hours we're up after midnight. That's where we can kind of hack the system a little bit. And for me, I actually am one of those people where once I'm awake, I'm up. So an early wake time isn't a bad thing for me. I've just become in the habit of sleeping, inverted commas, in with my little girl and waking up with her rather than making the most of the morning, because that's what happened today for me. She woke up at 4, I got her back to sleep, and I was able to get up and actually have a morning routine, which when I was childless, that was a really easy commitment to make to myself, but I haven't had that commitment to myself in so long. So this feeds into the next life bringer for me, which is a solid morning practice where I'm in my own energy. And on an ideal day, and this is not going to look the same for me, although if you are child free and you do have time in the morning, please milk the shit out of that. Go and have a 5 hour morning routine if you can. Take it into midday if you will. No, but truly, ideal morning practice for me, and I did it this morning, was a daily rest practice. I'm obsessed with the daily rest. I know I've dropped the name in a couple of times now. I'm obsessed. I'm sitting in practice every day. Emmy Ray is beautiful. And this morning's daily rest practice I chose to do was the morning coffee practice, which was some breath work and some restorative yoga. It was beautiful for about 15 minutes. Then I did my Vedic meditation for 10 minutes. In this time, my daughter had woken up and I was very lucky my husband was home. So he took off for breakfast and I was able to journal and pull a few cards. And by 8 o'clock, I'd done my morning routine. That's the ideal for me. And this is why the life bringer of early sleep and an early bedtime actually filters into my next day. So it starts the night before and then filters into the next day for me to have that little window of time. I think in total this morning took me to under half an hour of time to myself to just get out of my head, brain dump for the morning, have a beautiful practice, stretch my body, and then meet my husband and my little girl in the kitchen for morning breakfast together. The next life bringer I've noticed is, for me personally, is reading fiction. Not anything that's going to activate my mind too much. Like my imagination, I'm okay with. I love nonfiction books. I wrote one. I really appreciate nonfiction books. However, there's just something about fiction, and fiction was my first love. Even writing fiction was my first love when I was a little girl. And so I have a fiction book on the go now. I think to date this year, it's end of March, I think I've read about 7 fiction books. I'm very, very proud of myself because it was something that was so neglected last year. But what I'll do now is when I have space in the day, be it I'm in the bath or there's something on the TV at night, I'm going to pull my fiction book out as opposed to grabbing my phone or doing the things that are more mindless. So reading fiction is a life bringer for me for sure. Sunshine. I feel like as a society, we're very scared of the sun. I am definitely not. I love the sun. My ruling planet of my natal chart is the sun. Leo is ruled by the sun. Sunshine is such a life bringer for me. And I'm not lying outside baking myself in the sun. I mean, firstly, who has the time for that? And secondly, I'm not stupid. But getting outside in the morning sun, especially, does wonders for your hormonal health and also your melatonin levels, setting you up for sleep that night. And sun on my skin, 20 minutes a day, non-negotiable, brings me life force energy. Obviously, when it's raining, that isn't something that we can do. But sunshine, when it's out, I'll eat my lunch in the sun. My little girl and I are playing outside in the sun every single day. It's a non-negotiable for me. Mostly when we're outside as well, we are barefoot, barefoot on the grass. The bindies have cleared up for us. Bindi season is over, so we can walk barefoot again. Barefoot on the grass, barefoot in the dirt. My feet are always filthy. I am one of those girls from the Northern Rivers. I make no apologies for it. Barefoot everywhere. I was even that barefoot gal when we lived on the Northern Beaches, and I'd go and do my, I'd go and walk Manly Beach up and down barefoot, and then I'd go and do my shop afterwards at the health food shop, and they knew me as Holly, who never wore shoes. So I'm definitely much more at home up here. People don't stare at me, but I've always been a barefoot gal, and being barefoot is a life bringer to me. I think I own 3 pairs of shoes, and every time I wear a pair of shoes, I feel very, very constrained. I don't like it at all. Operation Life Force, some other things that are bringing me life force right now. Fresh linen on your bed every week. Pick a day. My beautiful right-hand woman, Jess's sister, Life. Oh my gosh. I hope I don't get your tag, your Insta tag wrong. I should have looked this up, gal, but it's Life by Annette. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to put it in the Facebook group. She's such inspo for the stay-at-home mums. So any of you who are doing mum life, follow her. I'll pop her in the Facebook group, her Insta. But she has inspired me. Every Monday, I do my fresh linen on the bed without fail. Monday morning, before I even go downstairs, it's me and my little girl stripping the bed, fresh linen every Monday. I know that sounds ridiculous, and maybe you guys already have that routine, but it has been such a game changer to just have that consistency. And yes, I take it up a notch because hashtag influenced, but I also have linen spray. My Libra moon and all my Virgo is just like froths on this. And so I spritz the linen every morning, make the bed before we leave the bedroom, spritz the linen mist, and we're on our way. At Koala Eco do beautiful linen mist. Again, hashtag influenced, but it's a life bringer for me. It makes me feel good. An extension of that is cleanliness in general, having clean spaces. We are mid-renovation. Our home is not a beautiful home yet. It will be. I can't wait for when it is. But just having those little rhythms where there is cleanliness, like having more indoor plants, beauty is really important to me. As a Libra moon, my emotions feel regulated in beauty. My other Librans and Libra moon placements will understand this. Maybe even the Taurians will get this. Everyone else is going to be like, that's a very superficial thing to say. But truly, my home environment, especially because I'm a fourth house Libra moon, and the fourth house rules home and family, but my home environment needs to feel beautiful. Artwork, plants, candles, fresh flowers, incense, even down to the clothes that I wear and the jewelry. I've been very, very slack with my hair, but those sorts of things really matter. They bring me life force energy. So I want to say, if that's also you, do not wrong yourself for that. Embrace that. Make it part of your thing. You know, beauty is very harmonizing. It's very much a life bringer when you allow it to be, and when you don't wrong yourself for desiring beauty, be it through material possessions, be it through furniture, be it through interior design, be it through fashion, whatever it is for you, makeup artistry, hair, let it be part of your daily practice to bring you life force energy. Do not wrong yourself for that desire. It's a very important one, not to be underestimated. For me, gentle movement. So restorative yoga yin yoga, going for a gentle walk, dancing to music that I really love and my dance class. But gentle movement is something that does bring me life. But the key word to that is gentle. And I'll talk about the opposite of that in the life force takers. And this is for me personally. If you're like a generator in human design, for instance, or you have lots of energy to burn, gentle movement's going to bore the shit out of you. You're likely going to want to run. For me, it's a walk as opposed to a run, as an example. Other life bringers, flight mode on my phone, do not disturb mode. Oh my goodness. It is such a game changer. It's such a simple one. I don't know why I don't do this more, but it is something that I have found myself turning to more in the last few days, where I always put my phone on do not disturb overnight and on flight mode, but my daughter's toy is making all this music in the background, distracting my focus. So let's talk life taker in that example, annoying, noisy children's toys. But I was talking about flight mode on my phone, and I was saying that when I go to sleep at night, I put it on do not disturb. I have it on flight mode. But even now through the day, when I am with my daughter, my phone is on flight mode. That's a big chunk of the day. And to be honest, the monotony of stay-at-home mum life a lot of the time, all you want to do is be distracted by a message, by voice notes, by scrolling. But having my phone on flight mode and even having it upstairs when we're downstairs or vice versa, it just detracts my immediate reaction to grab my phone. And in therapy, my therapist has told me it's a self-nurturance thing. So when I go to turn my phone off flight mode, when I go to jump on a screen, catching myself and going, what am I actually trying to feel now? What am I trying to feel now? And going and doing that. So being more considerate with screen time. Other life givers and life bringers for me, baths are huge. If you don't have a bath, then a foot soak is also beautiful. But baths for me, with salts, with oils, with flower petals, with music, I do the whole shebang. I don't have a bath every night. Ideally, I'm having one once a week. When I'm unwell and when I've been physically unwell, they've been very, very, very much more frequent. And again, it's that beauty thing, but also water and the salts in the water and the magnesium and all of those things are so good for our energy. So it's really been filling me up. On that with salts, a magnesium supplement for me personally is a non-negotiable. I've been having magnesium supplement all through pregnancy and beyond. I take super jumbo ones at night before bed. And now I've also been having my CBD, hashtag Byron Bard, plug, unpaid, gifted. It's my nightly ritual. So I'm having 2 magnesium tablets and my Byron Bud, and it's just really winding down my nervous system before bed. And it's a really beautiful practice that I've gotten into. Another thing that brings me life is alone time. I need a lot of it. I have all of those energy centers that are open, minus 2, my throat and my G center. I get energy on my own. In fact, I remember I had a human design read last year, and it was, you can get your energy from showing up for family, for friends, service to your community, or on your own. And my biggest one was on my own, like massive on my own, like off the Richter scale. I'm an introvert, an extroverted introvert. So I appear extroverted, but I'm actually incredibly introverted, and I'm a projector. I need time in my own energy to recharge. It is near impossible at this stage in my life. So I have to take whatever I can get. And if that actually means me saying no to social catch-ups to actually prioritize my alone time, this stage of my life, I am going to be far more inclined to do that. I need to show up for me first, and showing up for me first, especially in this stage of my life, is picking windows of time where I can sit by myself in my own energy and rock in a corner. No, I'm joking. And go and sip tea, or go for a walk, or go and do a class by myself, or just be in my own energy. It's so important. So, so important. Oh my God. It's just such a hard one at this stage in my life. And I know there'll be those of you listening who can resonate, where it's like, when do I get alone time? But it's just for me now a non-negotiable. I have to carve it out. I have to ask for more help from people so that I can have it, because it's killing me not having it. another life bringer is my work. I know last week I spoke about how I can't expect work to fill my energy up, and that's not it, but it does give me life force in that it injects enthusiasm, excitement, and inspiration into my energetic field. So I can't just rely on my work to bring me all life force energy, but my work doesn't deplete me for the most part. So especially when I jump off group facilitation calls, I get so much life force from that. When my podcasts are released and you guys message me and share what resonates, that recognition piece gives me life force energy. Again, Leo projector, right? Being recognized and being reflected back to gives me life force energy. So I'm very, very grateful that the work I do in the world gives me life force energy, because hey, it didn't for a very, very, very long time. And I just thought that that was meant to be the way for everyone forever. A few more life givers, and then we'll go to the life takers. Sounds like some sort of assassin, the life taker. music, always music. Music gives me so much life. Playlists for every occasion, playing music on my keyboard, singing, just live music. Oh my God, watching my brother gig, my dad gig. I've grown up in, you know, the basement in Sydney. It was basically my second home, going to watch my dad in Steely Dan cover bands, like, and musical stage theatre, like music gives me life. People in their zone of genius with music gives me life. Me singing or performing in a musical context gives me life. It is a life giver. Karaoke gives me life. I have not done karaoke in way too long. So those sorts of things, yes, music is a life giver for me. The other one is cooking. I love to cook. I love to entertain with food. Me and my husband together, we make a delicious team, culinary team, especially Italian food. Trent makes his own focaccia from scratch, and he makes his own pizza dough and his own pasta. And I'll do the sauces and I do the entrees. One of my favorite things to do, if you're a friend of mine, you'll know, is when we're having a gathering, I ask if I can please do the platter. And I swear to God, people who like to do platters have strong Libra charts or strong Taurus charts. Tell me I'm wrong, because for me, it is therapy. It is the best fun ever. I can pick a shitty platter from a mile off. There is a trick to mastering the art of a good freaking platter. And I go to town when I'm making a platter, because to me, it is therapy. It's art. It's like not just about the food on the platter. It is about the flowers that I have on the platter. It's everything. Like, I take it so seriously. And when people say, oh no, I've got a platter sorted, and they don't take it as an art form, I get really upset. So if you're going to invite me somewhere, please put me on platter duty. It's important to me. So cooking and preparing platters, life force giver. It actually gets me so excited. Like, I'm sitting here like, we're going to something on Easter Sunday for friends, and I said, can I please do the platter? And she's like, oh, well, obviously. I'm so excited. I've just got all these ideas. I'll give you guys some hot tips. It's as much about the food as it is about the aesthetic, okay? So when you're making a platter, this is such a digression, but it feels important. When you are making a platter, the next time you're making a platter, please get rid of the jats. We are not putting jats on a platter. You can take the jats separately, but don't put them on your platter. They're just going to cheapen the look, okay? And this isn't about how much you spend. It's just about aesthetically pleasing crackers and other things. So if dragon fruit, passion fruit, figs, pomegranates, those beautiful, bright, rich, colored fruits are in season, please buy a couple of those, slice them in half, put them on the platter. Like, that is your necessary aesthetic breakup of the dips and the cheeses and the olives and the nuts and things. Also, dark chocolate on a platter, always a good little breakup. You want to put a little bit of sweet in with the savory. I'm taking this way too seriously, but I truly feel it. Also, if you are, you know, putting dips on your platter, make sure you have those beautiful terracotta bowls or something else that you can get from the op shop to scoop the dips out of their containers and put them in beautiful mixed matched pots on your platter. And obviously you just use chopping boards as platters if you don't have one big enough, but investing in some good size platters, I mean, you can just get them from Kmart. I digress, but can you see, like, that gives me life. If I wasn't in this work, I'd probably have a platter company. I would call it platypus. No, I wouldn't. It just came in. Okay, one more thing. BS, can you guys see how me talking about all the things that give me life has brought me to life? Do you see? Like, this is what it does, right? And that life force energy is contagious. So I'm sure you guys listening to me in this are receiving contagion from me in my life force. Like, this is a beautiful example. We're all going to be really flat by the end of this podcast when I start listing the life takers. Should have done this the other way around. The final one, which it just wouldn't be this a good list without referencing these things, meditation and journaling. Given I talk about it in my morning practice, but I just needed to emphasize, a regular meditation plus journaling practice for me personally is a life bringer. I'm a double air sign, right? I'm a Libra moon, Gemini rising. I've got a lot of chat going on in my head at all times. I need practices to get me out of my head. I need practices to turn down the volume of the mind. If I don't have those practices, I'm not in life force energy. So let's move into the life takers, the assassins of life force energy. This is the most rogue episode, but I'm here for it. So the first one that I've written down here is social media without intention. It's not social media, full stop. Social media doesn't take life force. Our intention in using it is what takes life force. So for me at the moment, I've had to catch myself in the addiction scroll hole. It's been my filler of time and energy when I've, as I said, needed to get some sort of life force hit. But it's sneaky because it's not giving me life force for the most part. When I have something that I really care about sharing, then yes, that it brings me life force. And as I said, in the recognition, absolutely, I'm not going to jump on here and be like, oh, I don't get any, it's not about the recognition and validation for me. 100% it is. 100% it is. And to a degree, it does give me life force energy. But what's happening for me personally is I'm just losing myself in other people's shows and spectacles of their life force. And that isn't in congruence with what gives me life force energy. So social media without intention. I'm calling myself out every time I'm on that platform, especially Instagram. Why am I on here? And if it's a mindless scroll, I'm catching myself much more, putting my phone back on flight mode, grabbing a book, going and being present with my daughter, doing something that actually brings me life force, because I know this isn't about wiping all of these life takers away entirely. It's turning down the volume of them. So yeah, social media has been a big one for me, and it's just what's been helpful for me is catching myself in the intention when I'm on the platform. What am I seeking from this interaction right now? And I'm spending far less time on the platform. My percentage of social screen time went down. I think it was like 25% last week to this week. So it's huge. It made a huge difference to me already. On that, being a slave to my DMs, there's a reason that I don't have my DMs turned on in terms of story replies. I speak about this in my book as well, but on my Instagram, because I cannot possibly answer every DM or every email I receive. Majority of what I'm being DM'd or asked about can be Googled. It's not my job to do that work for other people. It's just when I catch myself getting bogged down in my DMs, I know I'm not in my life force energy. And that doesn't mean that I'm not replying to any DM. That's not it. It's when DMs are completely out of alignment with the work I'm here to do in the world, or me being able to actually be of service in any way. The other thing I'll say, which is a really interesting one, and this won't be the case for everyone, but unsolicited voice notes. So, and this, when I say unsolicited, it's a few things. Firstly, I love voice noting my friends, and I do all the time, and we're on Voxer for that. So that's totally fine. And when I say unsolicited, I mean, haven't been asked, is it okay if I send you a couple of voice notes? Because what ends up happening is, and this happens every week for me, I'll probably get about three DMs of a few minutes from people, probably 30 minutes worth of voice notes, DMs. I'd say every fortnight, let's not say weekly, every fortnight. And I just do not have that time or energy to hold space or listen to that. So I feel bad, but I end up leaving these voice notes unlistened to because I can't. Whereas it's a really interesting one for me, I prefer voice noting. So I will say to someone, are you okay if I just send you a voice note or two? I'll keep it really short. So it's a really interesting one that I'm still gauging with my own energy. But for the most part, I think what brings me out of life force energy is an unsolicited voice note in my DM. So note to selves, let's ask for permission before we do that to anyone else as well. Gossip. I don't really have people in my life anymore that do this, which is great because it's taken work to get here, but I just do not feel great when I hear people talking about other people in a judgment-fueled way. It's not, I just don't like it. I just am not here for it. It brings me right out of life force energy. If I hear it and I'm in an environment where it's happening around me, I find a way to remove myself from it. It's just yucky and I just don't like it. So yeah, gossip brings me right out of life force. This is an interesting one that not everyone's going to resonate with, but I'm pretty sure the reflectors and the projectors will. More than one daily outing. I cannot commit to more than one daily outing. And when I say that, I mean even just me going to the shops with my little girl. I might not actually be meeting up with anyone else. Like this morning, we went to Kmart. That's my daily outing done, right? It's like, if I overcommit, and again, this is give or take, there will be times when I'm going out more than once, but I know that my energy will be far more depleted. So I can only commit to one outing a day. And if I know that I've got two or more, I mean, I hope to God I don't have more than two, but if I have more than two, I know that that next day I'm not leaving the house. That is just a non-negotiable for me. And as I said, that's not going to resonate with everyone. But for those of you it does resonate with, just put that rule in place. You do not do more than one daily outing. I cannot do it. Even if, you know, I've gone to the playground with my daughter in the morning and then a friend's like, come over this afternoon, I will literally have to say, no, I've already done my thing today. And not everyone's going to understand that, but I understand my energy and what I can handle. And that's what I can handle. I've already spoken to this, but cluttered space and mess. It's why I'm a stickler for just being on top of my laundry and being us in between with renovations. It's killed my life the last couple of years. I do not feel my best self in this house at the moment. I can't wait for everything to be done because living in an in-between half renovated home is not conducive to life force energy for me at all. So yeah, clutter and mess brings me right out of life force energy. Shopping centers, grocery shops. I'm kind of lucky I live in a space where there's nothing too hectic when it comes to shopping centers, but I do all of our grocery shopping online. Even the farmers markets was getting a bit like spacey for me. And so there's an online farmers market up here that I order from. So yeah, online shopping for the win for me. As I said, I went to Kmart this morning with my little girl and it did. It spun me right out of my center. So it's definitely a big zapper, but it's a necessary evil at times. This is the opposite side of gentle movement, but something that brings me right out of life force is high intensity training. And that's not to say I don't like it. I used to be massive gym gal back in the day when I burned myself out. And then when I built myself back up again, I went and trained at F45, burned myself out again. And every pattern of burnout in my life at some level has been connected to high intensity training for me, where my system, my energetic body cannot handle it. I can handle long walks on the beach. I can handle yoga, yin, Pilates, reformer, absolutely. But anything more high intensity than that, I am so out of coherence with what my energetic body and my physical body actually thrives on. Even heavy lifting weights. I was doing that right after postpartum, right after 12 weeks postpartum. And as much as I loved it, it was fucking my body. And so this is getting an understanding of what movement actually serves you and what doesn't, and not copying yourself out, obviously. But for me, high intensity training does not serve me. It is a life force taker. Overspending, when my finances are mismanaged, when I'm not on top of my finances. Now, I'm pretty good at this. I am a second house son. Money is very important in my world and the way that I manage it. You guys know I talk all the time about my incredible coach, Betsy Westcott. She's amazing and helps me stay on top of my money. But I know if I'm mismanaged financially in some way, it's taking me right out of the life force. I just do not feel safe. This is a big theme for me personally with money. When it's not feeling managed, I literally go into unsafe mode. And so, yeah, that's been a really interesting one. It's why I'm regularly coaching with someone to hold me to account with my money. So important for me personally. This is one that's going to be really interesting to people, but I think introverts will get it. I think projectors will get it. I think reflectors will get it. Most people time is a life taker. That doesn't mean that I never want to see people. I love people. But most time with people, especially in group settings or bigger, I am completely wiped afterwards, completely wiped. It's all my open energy centers. It's very difficult. If you have pointers, please let me know. But even my favorite people in the world, I can match their energy absolutely. I can pick up on their, you know, generator or man gen energy and like be hyped up by that. And then I get home and I'm completely sideways. I'm very, very grateful my husband's a projector because we don't wipe each other out, but we're definitely going to be challenged by our little man gen. But even I laugh because two of my girlfriends up here, one's a man gen, one's a generator. And they said, how about we have a weekly catch up, blah, blah, blah. And they were all excited. And I looked at them, I said, guys, I cannot commit to a weekly catch up as much as I would love to. The thought of that exhausts me. And I was honest with them and they were like, okay, we cannot relate, but we hear you. If that exhausts you, we don't have to commit to it. I said, you guys commit to a weekly catch up. Sweet. I'll come when I feel like I can. But energetically, most people time wipes me out. I'm just so tired. I know not everyone's going to get that, but let me know if you get that because, yeah, it's an interesting one. I write about it in my book, actually. This is one that I spoke to at the beginning. Any sense of urgency, any sort of like pressured deadline, timeline, it's why I'm my own boss because I can call myself out on if things actually are urgent or not. So, yeah, any kind of unnecessary pressure or expectation on my timelines takes me out of life force. Including like the example that I've written here is more than two client sessions a week, one-on-one. If I'm doing more than that, I'm out of life force energy. And that doesn't sound like a lot, I know, but that's as much as when I first started doing readings, I was doing 10 to 12 a week. That's why I ended up burning out so quickly after my readings. I think a month into it, I was burned out. I can do two. It's what my energy can hold. That sounds very little for some people, but when you add on everything else, you know, my monthly coherence ceremony, my group call twice a week, also with my psychic studies girls, the fact that I'm parenting 24/7, starts to take its toll, right? So that's where I'm at, the sweet spot I'm at the moment with my work. But I actually think I'm going to scale back to one reading a week, which is an interesting one for this stage of my life, at least. And the last one I have in Life Taker is too much of, inverted commas, the work. And by the work, I mean the personal development, spiritual, energetic work. I feel that there is too much of a good thing. And as much as I am so committed to being the best version of myself, working on my shit, my blind spots, unraveling, I'm also committed to not doing that permanently 24/7 all the time. What's the next thing to heal? What's the next thing to heal? What's the next thing to heal? I've done that before. I did that 3 years ago. I burned myself out. I'm not interested in that way of living anymore. So at this point in my life, I'm actually not doing any form of energetic or conscious or active, energetic, spiritual, personal development work. It's whatever naturally comes up for me to work through my own personal life, like self-clearing stuff. But I've done a lot of it in the last year and in the first couple of months of this year. I'm taking a breather. I don't need to grow my business right now. I don't need to unravel the next fucking shadow aspect of myself right now. I actually just want to have a healthy, good time. Right? I just want to make platters and have fun by myself. Oh, shit. And then I have two in-betweeners, the in-betweeners. First one, alcohol. You're going to get a lot of dogmatic spiritual people who are like, I do not touch. much alcohol. Brings me out of my life force energy. Cool. Good for you. For me, yes, I have a history of alcoholics in my family. I see the awful, awful, awful just ripple effects that alcoholism can have on people. I'm the subject of alcoholism in terms of having experienced it growing up. It's horrible. And so that's why you'll never see me drinking midweek. I never drink. And no judgment if you do, PS. Like, this is me personally. But there's a lot of repercussions of coming from an alcoholic background in terms of family members, where I make choices when it comes to my alcohol consumption that, yeah, would take me out of life force energy. That said, I love a margarita with a friend on a Sunday arvo with oysters and a delicious meal. Love it. Life force gives me life force. Here for it. I love a margarita. I love a Negroni with my husband. You know, I probably have a couple of cocktails a month. And on my birthday, I let it rip. I go nuts. I love it. It brings me life force, right? So that's just my personal relationship with alcohol. And that's why I called it an in-betweener, because yes, I can notice the moments where my consumption of alcohol is taking me out of life force energy. And I call myself out on it pretty hard, pretty quick, because I do not want to be a pattern repeater in my lineage. That said, I would be lying if I said, no, I don't drink. And no, it takes me out of my channel and those things. I enjoy it. Absolutely. With my friends, a margarita or two, I'm here for it. Very happy with that. And the other in-betweener I wrote down here is TV. It's a really interesting one because I'm not a big TV watcher. Like when people are like, what are you watching at the moment? I'm like, Survivor. And PS, oh my God, Survivor. I could have done a whole podcast episode on that alone. George is a genius, but very, very happy that Liz won. Spoiler alert, but if you haven't watched by now, you're not a true Survivor fan. So Survivor, yes. MasterChef, yes. Watching people in their zone of genius, life force bringer. Every time I watched Survivor and we finished watching, Trent and I were like full in life force energy chatting about it and so excited by it, right? Similarly, life force bringer for me, when I was having sleepless nights with my little girl breastfeeding on the couch, I had Modern Family in the background. Comedy, Modern Family, Friends, Seinfeld, like Modern Family is my number one. But that kind of lighthearted, comedic, very quick comedy, that feels good for me TV-wise. When I'm watching Love Island, I am not in my life force energy. It doesn't give me anything. I'm watching it because it's zoning me out of my life. And that's when I need to be picking up a book or going to bed earlier. And I can catch myself in that. For you, maybe Love Island gives you life force energy. Who am I to judge? But it's just for me, it's why TV is an in-betweener. It's like, when am I using it as a vice? And when am I using it to support myself? And when am I using it where it feels good for me? Guys, it was a big one today, but I hope you've enjoyed listening to Operation Life Force. I'd love to hear what you would change on my lists, what you would add or remove. If you make a really nice platter, I'd love to see a photo. And pop all those things in the Facebook group. If you send me voice notes, you will be forgiven, but I probably won't listen to them. And that's just me being in honor of my energy and my own life force, just like you have permission to do that for your own as well. I'm sending you all huge love, and I will be back in your ears. I'm going to say Tuesday because I'm feeling quite good. Who knows? It could change, but let's say Tuesday with the next episode of What's the Vibe.
You've been listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Enjoyed today's ep? Remember to share, subscribe, and leave a little rating if you like what you heard. And join us over on Facebook. Just search Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Until next time.